So it gives me great pleasure to introduce Jonathan to you today. Thank you, Jonathan.
Well, folks, we're glad to be here at your Children's Day, an annual occasion, a very special day. It's a day that many look forward to, and we're glad to be here. We thank you for the welcome. Thank Matt for the welcome, and also David for the invitation. And it's very evident, as we have listened to the programme, that a lot of effort and preparation has been made for this occasion. Boys and girls, you're to be congratulated. I'm sure you were nervous. It's not nice standing up here, sure it's not. And to speak to all of these faces sitting in front of you. But you've coped very well. And truly, the children in Lurgan are pretty talented. And we appreciate the effort that the mums and dads have made, and the Sunday school teachers as well, for no doubt they had a hand in this as well. I'm sure you're relieved that your bit's over. And you can sit back a wee bit now and relax. I know the theme of this morning's Children's Day has been about the Ark. You've been learning about that, and you've been telling us something about God's creation, and about the ark, about the rainbow, and the preparation that was made for a place of safety. I'm sure you can think of many animals that were in the ark. Can you? Well, we're going to speak about one of them this morning. I wonder, can you guess what it is? Now, I'll give you a wee clue. You see lots of them in the fields at this time of the year. Is anybody, lots of farms would have them. Do you know? A sheep, yes. We see lots of sheep. This is the time of the year for clipping sheep, that's right. It's not a sheep we're going to talk about today. Do you know, wee man? What is it? Good man. A cow. I've got a cow with me today, boys and girls. And it's pretty tiny. It's a wee toy one. Does anybody know what breed that one is? It's a milk cow. That's a dairy cow, that's right. That's a Friesian. You see lots of those in the fields at this time of the year, boys and girls. That's a dairy breed, a Friesian cow. I'm going to set that there, and if that cow moves, you move. All right? You sit up just like that, and you listen. I've also got a bull with me this morning. This big fella here. You probably won't know what breed that bull is, boys and girls. That's a Simmental. A Simmental bull. That's a beef breed. Those are big, heavy boys. Simmentals, boys and girls, are heavy boned. They're a beef breed. You know, whenever I was small, running about my grandparents' farm and along with my cousins, any time John Hume would have come on the television, we would have said they're Simmental head. Because when you look at a Simmental, boys and girls, he's no neck. Big, thick neck on him. And that's what we used to call John Hume, poor fella. But again, boys and girls, if that bull moves, then you can move as well. Now, we want to learn some lessons this morning on the animal, this animal that God has created. And the very first thing we learn about the cow or the bull is that the cow can get lost. It can stray, can't it? Sometimes whenever you're driving about in the countryside around Lurgan and Warringstown, Donaghcloney, or wherever it might be, you will maybe see a wee calf or a cow grazing at the side of the road. It has broken out from where it ought to be, hasn't it? It has got away, has maybe got it through a hole in the hedge, or maybe some wee lad was out walking in the field and he opened the gate and he never closed it behind him, and out they came. And whenever you drive along the countryside and you see cattle grazing at the side of the road, those cattle are a danger, aren't they? They're a danger to you as you're in the car. And they're a danger to themselves. Maybe they're oblivious to their lost condition. And you know, that's a picture of us all in this meeting this morning. Mums and dads, and boys and girls, we have all been born with a nature that is prone to stray, to break out from where we ought to be. And we go on our own way. You and I have been born with a sinful nature. We have inherited that sinful nature from our first parents, Adam and Eve. You were telling us this morning about creation. And sin destroyed our first parents and caused them to go astray from the commandments of God. I'm sure you've been taught in your Sunday school by your teachers in the year that's passed that our sinful nature separates us from God. And where God is, we cannot be. Our nature needs to be renewed. And the Bible calls that salvation. We need to be saved. And maybe like the cow at the side of the road who's unaware that it's lost. Maybe that's a wee picture of you today. You're unaware of your lost condition before God in heaven. Maybe also you're unconcerned of the sudden danger that could happen to you at any moment. And boys and girls, in the Word of God, we read that we cannot find our own way. But some of you were telling us earlier about one who is the way. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, in the verse 6, I'm sure you can all recite that verse. It's very well known, isn't it? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Even little boys and girls, little toddlers like along the front row here this morning, we go astray from our earliest of days. We have a sinful nature within us. We don't have to be taught to tell lies, sure we don't. We already know how to do it. We don't have to be told or taught how to be rebellious at home, sure we don't. We know how to do it, don't we? It's built into us, isn't it? And boys and girls, that sinful nature teaches us to be disobedient and to fight. Maybe at school, boys and girls at home, they break the rules. At school, they break the rules, don't they? And what happens when you break the rules at school or break the rules at home? Maybe there's discipline involved. There's punishment, isn't there? We have all broken God's rules. God has given us his commandments and his word, and you and I have broken away from them. We have gone astray from them from our earliest of days. We need to be brought back, don't we? Brought back into fellowship with the Lord. Now, something else about a cow. I've got this thing here with me this morning, and this is called a halter. Where would you see a halter being used, boys and girls? Have you any idea? Yes? That's right. Maybe at a show. Lurgan Show. You had Lurgan Show in recent weeks? Maybe Balmoral Show, or this incoming week, it's the Highland Show in Edinburgh. And you will see a cow being led around the ring with a halter. Goes on like that there. You put it right behind the 2 ears, and that goes over the nose, the mouth, and it's pulled tight together like that. It keeps the cow under control, doesn't it? It's for discipline. Without that, cow would get away from you, wouldn't it? And that cow, boys and girls, is taught to have a submissive nature. That cow's nature needs to be broken. Can you imagine just going straight to a field and taking a cow straight to Balmoral Show? Eh? It'll be a disaster, wouldn't it? That cow's nature needs to be broken. Needs to be submissive to its owner. And if you're saved today, if you're a little Christian in the house of God this morning, mums and dads, if you're saved, you and I ought to be submissive as well. That submissive nature to the will of God and also to the Word of God. We submit to authority. We submit to authority at home, to your parents. Your parents want you to live within a certain set of rules at home. Same with the teachers at school. We need to be submissive, don't we? Submissive to our teachers. It teaches us respect. It's very easy at school to let our spirit get out of control, isn't it? To go with the crowd and to follow them in the things that they do. A crowd will always lead people astray. Boys and girls, God's word teaches you and I to be submissive. submissive to our Heavenly Father, an unruly cow in the parade ring is going to be hard work. It's not a good thing, boys and girls, to be hard work for your mum and dad, or hard work for your Sunday school teacher, or hard work for your teacher at school. Don't be an unruly individual. You know, sometimes to control a bull, that there is used. You know what that is? Anybody know what that is? Yes? It's a ring, that's right. That goes into the bull's nose like that. You go along, and you put it in, clip it round, and you seal it shut. And sometimes on the bull's nose, boys and girls, there will be a chain on it. And when he stands on it, he'll let it roar. It's not nice, sure it's not. Discipline can be painful. Discipline, sometimes we have to use a stick. And boys and girls, that brings a loss of freedom, doesn't it, to that animal that's being paraded around the ring. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture, he was submissive. He submitted to the will of his Heavenly Father. He knew what was lying in front of him when he came to this scene of time. And tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 42, "Not my will, but thine be done." Lord Jesus Christ, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he felt the weight that was coming upon him, what was lying ahead at the cross. He submitted to the Father's will that you and I might be redeemed. He gave himself, came under the authority of the Father. Our Heavenly Father's plan to redeem, to save you and I. And Jesus willingly gave himself that you and I might be saved. You know, another thing about a cow today is that a cow has a very good sense. You mightn't think that sometimes. But you know, whenever it rains, big heavy shower of rain, a cow will automatically go to a hedge or shelter underneath a tree. A cow can answer when she's called. She'll come. Whenever it's feeding time, whenever it's milking time, little calves have to be fed out in the field. Maybe the farmer will go to the truck and he'll hit it with his hand, or he'll start calling them, and the calves will come running. They know their owner's voice, don't they? They know their owner's voice. I can remember as a child down on my grandparents' farm in Monaghan. I was only a wee lad at the time, and Granda standing at the door, the byre door, just rattling a bucket. And the cows might have been 3 or 4 fields away, and they heard the rattle of the bucket. They knew it was milking time. And boys and girls, cows are very picky at what they eat. They'll not go and eat weeds and rushes, nettles and that kind of thing. A cow is, especially a dairy cow, is a very good diet. Anybody know what that is? It's grass. Yes, that's silage. Have you ever smelt silage before? This is fresh. I picked this up yesterday. And inside this bag, boys and girls, there's not just silage, but there's maize meal, and there's soya, and there's whole crop wheat. It's a very rich diet for a dairy cow. If you want milk production, you're going to have to feed the cows. And boys and girls, a cow will take time to rest and to chew on this. You've seen her chew in the cud perhaps sometimes. She'll sit in the field or in the cubicles, and she'll sit and she will chew the cud. Another thing about a cow, she's an animal of routine. An animal of routine. This time of the year when they're out in the field, maybe about 3:30 in the afternoon, you'll see them standing round the gate. They know it's milking time. That time of the day has come. And boys and girls, you and I can learn from the cow's example to be people of routine. Have our set times every day to feed on the Word of God. Not just to read God's Word, but to think over it. That's what the cow does. She chews on the cud, doesn't she? And boys and girls, you and I need our routine as well. It's very easy to jump up in the morning and run out the door straight to school and never ask the Lord to help me today or to read his precious Word. We need to feed on the Word of God, to rest in the Lord. Take the time to listen to what God has to say. The cow knows its owner's voice, doesn't it? To wonder, do you know God's voice today? In Psalm 27 and verse 14, tells us there, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's the psalmist encouraging the Christian. Take time to wait. Take time to rest. Listen to what God has to say. Be a person of routine. Come to God's house on the Sunday. Come to Sunday school. Come to the evening service, the prayer meeting. Read your Bible every day. Pray to the Lord. Be a person of routine. It develops good spiritual sense, boys and girls. Take time to be holy, as the hymn writer reminds us. If you've never smelt silage before, you're welcome to come up and open that bag. I can smell it from here. It's a wee bit like vinegar. It's quite sweet, boys and girls. It is nice. And there's all these other ingredients in it. And if you want to see these things, you've never seen one of those before, you can come up after the meeting, or parents as well, and have a wee look for yourself. Now, something else. I've got a few things here with me. A cow is a very useful animal, isn't it? Very useful animal. Can anybody tell me, boys and girls, what a cow can produce for us? Milk, that's right. What else do we get from a cow? We get milk, that's right. More milk. What else do we get? Meat. Good man. We do. We get, this was all used up for breakfast, with none left. We brought this milk carton with us. We all use milk every day in our Weetabix or porridge, whatever it is, don't we, boys and girls? Comes from the cow. We get cheese as well. Cheese from the cow, don't we? We get fresh cream. We get meat, don't we? We also get some other things. We get leather, don't we? Leather belt, leather shoes. Comes from a cow as well. Now, I've got something else with me here on a cow. And I wonder, you know what those are? You know what those are? Yes, sir. You know what those are? They're horns, yes. What would those be used for? Would those just be thrown away? Are they useless? What would those be used for? They're from a bull or a cow, that's right. I'll tell you, boys and girls. These here years ago were used for knife handles, making buttons on a coat, maybe a handle on a walking stick. I'm sure you've seen them about, haven't you? Even the feet, the hooves, have their use as well. Because years ago, boys and girls, people would have taken the horns and the hooves and boiled them and made a paste out of them. That's where glue came from. Years ago, before there was any manufacturing of glue in a factory, people stuck things together with these things that were melted down. It was a very, very strong adhesive. And when you look at the horns and the hooves, and you might think, well, what use are they? No use whatsoever. But they have a use. Doesn't the cow come of great benefit to you and I? You and I, as individuals, have received many blessings from the Lord. You and I should seek to give something back to our Heavenly Father. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord Jesus gave everything for you and I. What are we giving back to him? Maybe just like these horns here. Maybe you feel, well, what use am I? I'm only a little individual. I can do very little. Nobody really takes notice of me. Boys and girls, it makes no odds today. You are important. You're not an unimportant individual. You have your uses as well. Do you remember the wee boy in John chapter 6 who gave his lunch to the Lord Jesus? That's all he gave. But look what the Lord made use of it with. What did he do with it? He fed 5,000 people. He seemed an unimportant wee lad. His lunch seemed to be so insignificant. What was that amongst 5,000 people? God can make you a blessing to other people. You mightn't think that I can do very much. I don't have many talents for the Lord. When we think of Jesus Christ, he gave of himself the greatest gift. There on the cross of Calvary for your benefit and mine, that we might be cleansed from sin and saved and set free. Just like the horns and the hooves, they have their uses, and so too do you. Another thing, boys and girls, and with this we're nearly finished. A cow can be purchased. Isn't that right? A cow is born in a farm, or it can be purchased. It has an owner. And I have a herd book with me. You might know what a herd book is for. But you know, whenever an animal is born on the farm, or a farmer goes down to the mart and he puts a bid on a cow and he buys her, he'll put down the gender of that animal, the breed of it, the colour of it, the date he bought it, and the date that it died or was passed on. For example, here we have a Charlie bull born. He's coloured white on the 30th of September the year 2000, and he finished his days in Lurgan here in ABP meets down the other end of the town, and he did so on the 6th of November 2001. He had his birth date and the day that he died in the herd book. Here's a limousine heifer, a red one, born on the 12th of September, the year 2000, and she finished her days in Oma Meats on the 2nd of December 2002. The herd book. It's very, very important, boys and girls. The farmer knows the price that he paid for that animal. And, boys and girls, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But my people doth not know, my people doth not consider. God records the day of your birth in his book. He has a record of your name, the day that you were born. But we know from scripture and from nature that cattle know their owner. They know their master's crib where they're fed from. But God was had to lament here that Israel, his own people, didn't even know him. There was once an old Scottish farmer who one time emigrated to Canada, and he bought a large farm, but he'd forgotten about God. Just like you, he had grown up in Sunday school, and he learned that verse as part of his Sunday school curriculum. He forgot about God. He built his life without the Lord. One day he was standing at the gate, and the cows came over, and one of them started to lick his hand. And just in the flash, that verse that he had learned in Sunday school came back to his mind. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And when he thought about it, his cattle knew him, but he didn't know his maker. How unprepared that man was to meet the Lord. It made him think, and it led to his conversion. Just like that farmer, folks, who has a herd book, God has a book in heaven. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, we read there, shall no wise enter into anything that defileth or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. God has the Lamb's book of life in heaven. It records the names of those who are saved, the day that they were saved, their gender, the place that they were saved. It shows that they have been purchased. It shows that they have been born again. And as I close this message this morning, boys and girls, I wonder, does God have your name in his book? The date that you were saved, God already has inscribed in his book, the date when you will pass away. And the Bible does tell us that it's only those who are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life will ever be in heaven. Is your wee name in this book today? Does God have an account of the time that you were saved? Mums and dads, what about you today? Maybe your wee ones aren't saved because you're not, and they're following your lead. Maybe if you were saved today, they would follow your lead into the heavenly kingdom. You too can come to Christ today. Come and be saved for time and for eternity. Speak to us afterwards. Speak to your teacher. Speak to David here and show you how you can be saved. Your name can be recorded in God's Lamb's Book of Life. Every farmer has a herd book. It's necessary. He has to have it. All the cattle in his farm are recorded in the book. Is your name in God's book? It needs to be if you're ever to be in heaven. May God speak to all of our hearts this morning and teach us some valuable lessons from the cow in the Word of God. Amen.